right, we are started. It says not connected. Okay, I think we've got a feed. Good morning. Good morning, Internet world. Fritz Berger and bloodandfaith.com. And the return seems to be pretty good. Let me turn this on here. All right, here we are. Fritz Berger and bloodandfaith.com. It is August 20th. It's almost the end of the summer. I guess we have another month left in summer. September 20th, fall start, something like that. And we're going to talk, of course, about, as promised, as I announced, we're going to talk about the biblical definition of treason. We're going to talk about Judas Iscariot. And we're going to talk about what the Holy Scriptures say about who the enemy is. And I know in my lifetime, the enemy was always the communists. It's always been the communists. The communists have always been the enemy as long as I've lived, and I've always opposed the communists and the Marxists. I studied communism and Marxism in graduate school. I spent years studying communism. I read Lenin. I read Marx. I read Engels. I read all this stuff about communism. It's almost as if the communists had infiltrated and taken over the entire university system. And in fact, they did. They took over the entire communist system. The communists did. And you have the Democrat Party, which is just full of communist ideas. And then you have the Republican Party, which all they do is offer cover to the Democrat Party. And so we're knocking our head against the wall going, we got communists on the right, we got communists on the right left. Some of them call themselves Democrats, some of them call themselves Republicans. You got the university professors, and we seem to be making no progress. But when you look at what the Holy Scriptures say, and you look at what the Word of God says, and if you go back to the Holy Scriptures and say, you know, what is the biblical definition of the enemy, we see something different, but not entirely different. We see something different. Who's the enemy of Jesus Christ in the Holy Scriptures? It's the Jews. If you haven't figured that out, all you got to do is go back and read the book of John. I remember many years ago, we would talk to new Christians and say, here's a gospel according to St. John. Go ahead and read this. Well, if you read the gospel according to St. John, the enemy of Jesus Christ is the Jews. It's so simple, so clear. The enemy of the truth is the Jews. And we're going to learn about that today, a little bit about Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate has a great Western question. What is truth? And truth is staring, literally and physically staring him in the face as Jesus Christ. The enemy, according to the Holy Scriptures, now I know some people say, Fritz, the enemy is the devil. Okay, fine. The enemy is the devil. The enemy is Satan. The enemy is Lucifer. The enemy is the serpent. The enemy is the snake, the serpent of old. But the serpent has babies. The serpent has little babies. They're called a brood of vipers. The serpent had babies. They're called a brood of vipers. That's what the children of the snake are called. They're a brood of vipers. Who did Jesus Christ say that brood of vipers was? We've talked about that a lot here at bloodandfaith.com. You know exactly who the children of the devil are. Jesus Christ described it over and over. John the Baptist described it over and over. Jesus Christ makes it exceedingly clear. And it's funny how the church has essentially rejected what Jesus Christ said. So I thought we'd talk about Judas Iscariot today. And just to set the stage and set the tone, Judas Iscariot, I'm going to take my headphones off. Judas Iscariot was called of Jesus Christ. He was chosen of Jesus Christ. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. He cast out devils in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read you a little bit about who Judas Iscariot is. Psalm 55. This is a psalm. David writes the Psalms, but essentially this is Jesus Christ talking about Judas Iscariot. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were rising against me, I could hide. But it is you
A man like myself, my companion and my close friend. Jesus Christ is talking about Judas Iscariot here. With whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God as we walked about among the worshipers. Judas Iscariot and Jesus Christ enjoyed sweet fellowship in the house of God as they walked among the worshipers. Judas cast out devils. Judas traveled around with Jesus Christ. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. This was not some foreign man in a foreign land. He said they enjoyed sweet fellowship together. Yet here is what Jesus Christ says of Judas in Psalm 55. Let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive into the realm of the dead. The King James Version says, let them go down quickly into hell. Let them go quickly into hell. He's talking about Judas. Let him go quickly into hell. Now, there's almost a new version of Christianity floating around out there, and it's where God loves everybody. God forgives everybody. God loves everybody. And he accepts everybody. Jesus died for the world. And they've created essentially a new religion, an entirely new religion that is foreign to the Holy Scriptures. And here's evidence of that right here. Let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive into the realm of the dead. King James says, let them go down quickly into hell. This is Jesus Christ saying this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never changed. Jesus Christ has never changed. We don't have a new God as of 2,000 years ago. We didn't change gods. We didn't change gods when Jesus Christ was born. We didn't change gods. It's not a new God. It's the same God. Jesus Christ was very clear. He says, before Abraham was born, I am. We didn't change gods when Jesus Christ was born. He's been speaking since the beginning of creation. And he's speaking through David in Psalm 55. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were rising against me, I could handle that. But you, a man like myself, my companion and my very close friend. And I'm asking this of Christians and preachers, because Judas Iscariot was called and chosen and gifted by Jesus Christ to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He healed the sick. He cast out devils. He preached the gospel. And Jesus Christ is talking about him in Psalm 55. With whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship. This is a man that enjoyed sweet fellowship with Jesus Christ. Not some distant legalistic relationship. They enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God as we walked about among the worshipers. They were close. They were very close. And here's what Jesus Christ says about these traitors. Judas Iscariot is not a one-off. If you look at the Holy Scriptures and you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and the Revelation and say, oh, it's just talking about that time then. No. Why do you adhere to the Holy Scriptures if that's the case? These are eternal ideas. These are eternal principles. They will never change. That word will never go. Heaven and earth will pass away, but Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts will never, ever, ever go away for all of eternity. The story of the Jews will be around for all eternity. The story of Judas Iscariot will be around for all eternity. It's as applicable today as it was 2,000 years ago. Here's a man called of God, chosen of God, empowered by God to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, casting out devils, healing the sick, with sweet fellowship with Jesus Christ. And at the end of the day, he sides with the Jews. At the end of the day, the preacher man sided with the Jews. At the end of the day, a man anointed, called by God, with sweet fellowship with Jesus Christ, he sides with the Jews. He sides with the Jews. And Jesus Christ says of him, let him go quickly down into hell. Another version says, let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive into the realm of the dead. These people that are traitors to Jesus Christ will go down alive into hell. According to Jesus Christ, Judas Iscariot is not a one-off. He's not a one-off. He's not. And the proof of that is in the book of Acts. And we've covered this in the book of Acts, and we will continue to cover it in the book of Acts. But today I'm going to focus very specifically on Judas Iscariot. Called of God, chosen of God, casting out demons, healing the sick, sweet fellowship with Jesus Christ, yet he sides with the Jews. He's the traitor. And Jesus Christ let him go quickly alive down into hell. As for me, I call to the Lord, and the Lord saves me, said Jesus Christ, even from the traitors in the church. Remember that the devil sometimes shows up as an angel of light. He likes to show up as an angel of light, doing good things, appearing smart. He certainly appeared as an angel of light to Eve. How smart, how wise, how wonderful he is. Surely we should listen to the wisdom he has. It sounds so good. Yet the Word of God is forever. John chapter 18. It's talking about the treason that Judas committed. So then the officers of the Jews, the officers of who? The Jews. The officers of the Jews arrested Jesus. They arrested Jesus. The officers of the Jews arrested Jesus. 18 verse 14. Now Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was expedient for one man to die on behalf of the people. They murdered Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ arises from the dead. Verse 20. Here's Jesus. He says, listen, and this is what I told a certain person before I got booted out of a certain country. I said, look, I've never said anything in secret. Everything I said is completely open. My name on it, my face on it. Here's what Jesus Christ said. I always taught in the synagogues and in the temples where all the Jews come together, and I spoke nothing in secret. This is exactly what I told a certain person. I said, I've said nothing in secret. I've said nothing in secret. My name is on it. My face is on it. I got no hidden agenda, no hidden anything. Jesus Christ said this exact same thing. He says, look, I've been teaching in the synagogue. I've been teaching in the temple to all the Jews. I've got, there is no secret out there. And the Jews, they tried Jesus Christ at night in secret, condemned him to death, and they took him to Pilate because they're too self-righteous. They're holier than thou. They're the ultimate hypocrites. They wanted somebody else to do the dirty work. They wanted somebody else to do the dirty work. They took him to Pilate and said, Pilate, put this guy to death. Pilate said, why should I put him to death? I'm not putting him to death. Here's what the Jews say. The Jews said, who said this? The Jews. I didn't make up this Bible. I didn't write this Bible. I didn't write this Holy Scripture. This is what the Bible says. The Jews said, we are not permitted to put anyone to death. Yet they were perfectly comfortable with getting somebody else to do their dirty work. That's why they're hypocrites. They claim to be above the fray. I'm so innocent. We're so innocent. We haven't done anything wrong. Yet they work in the background to get other people to do their dirty work. And you see that all throughout the book of Acts. What they don't do directly, they hire the worthless men in the marketplace to go stir up the rabble. And they bribe and blackmail the rich. And we're going to see here where they blackmail Pontius Pilate. They blackmail him. Bribery and blackmail has been a signature tool of the Jews for at least 2,000 years. Remember when he rose from the dead? Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and the soldiers come back and they said, this dude rose from the dead. They bribed them. They gave him a lot of money. so that they would tell a different story. Pilate goes to Jesus Christ. He says, "Are you king of the Jews?" This is interesting. Jesus says, "Is that your own question, or did somebody put that to you?" It's interesting how Jesus Christ answers a question with a question. And if you want to learn how to debate, you want to learn how to counter your interlocutors, your verbal enemies, pay attention to how Jesus Christ deals with them. You don't always have to give them the answer they want. You do not owe your enemy the answer they want. You don't owe your enemy the answer they want. You do not. Jesus answered a question with a question. He answered a question with a question. You don't owe them the rope to hang you. Pilate retorts. He says, "I'm not a Jew." Pilate says, "I'm not a Jew. I got the power to set you free." Jesus said, "You wouldn't have any power at all unless my Father had given it to you." If my kingdom, this is Jesus Christ, were of this world, and my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. So I would not be handed over to the Jews. Who did Jesus Christ accuse of killing him? The Jews. And we're going to see that. There's a big, it's not even a controversy anymore. The church has backpedaled and backpedaled and backpedaled and backpedaled. Oh, the Jews didn't kill Jesus Christ. Well, let's make that clear. Please, let's make that clear. Jesus Christ had a different opinion. "If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews." And the church is terrified of offending the Jews. Church has more fear of the Jews than they do of Jesus Christ. At this point, Pilate looks at Jesus Christ and he says, "What is truth?" I just think of the humor of God, the irony of God. Pilate is literally looking at truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And he's the Word of God. He is truth. Pilate says, "What is truth?" And he's staring him in the face. It's fascinating. And Pilate went out again to the Jews, And this is what the European man says. The European man, first of all, Pilate says, "Look, I ain't no Jew. I ain't no Jew." Pilate is a European man. He's a Roman. He's from Europe. And the European man, representing European man, says, "I find no guilt in this man. I find no guilt in him at all. There's no guilt in Jesus Christ." The European man made a judgment of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago and said, "I find no guilt in this man." We are not all the same. There was a distinction here. Chapter 18, verse 39. Pilate says to the Jews, "Do you wish then that I release for you the king of the Jews?" You want me to release this? Pilate did everything he could to release Jesus Christ. He says, "This man is innocent. I find no guilt in this man. There's nothing he did wrong. Jews, don't you want me to release this man?" And the Jews cried out and said, "Not this man. No, don't release this man to us. Release Barabbas to us." Who is Barabbas? He's a robber and a murderer. They chose the devil over Jesus Christ. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Barabbas is described in the Bible as a robber and as a murderer. They chose Satan over Jesus Christ. Mark 17, verse 7 says, "The man named Barabbas had been imprisoned with the insurrectionist who had committed murder in the insurrection." The Bible describes him in John as a robber, in Mark as a murderer, with those who committed murder in the insurrection. Jesus made it very clear who they wanted. John 19, verse 4. Pilate finds no guilt in him, and he says, behold the man. He brings Jesus Christ out to the Jew, who he's doing everything he can to release. He's declared him innocent. He's declared him not guilty. He brings him out before the Jews, and he says, behold the man. So then the chief priests and the officers saw them. And this is important. This isn't some minor subsection of Jews. It's their entire leadership. It's their identity. It's their corporate head. The chief priests and the officers saw him. They cried out, saying, take him yourselves. Oh, and this is Pilate. Take him for yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him. So again, Pilate declares him innocent. Pilate says, you take him yourselves and crucify him. The Jews answered, we have a law, and by that law, he ought to die because he made himself to be the Son of God. Then Pilate heard this. He was even more afraid. He was terrified. He knew something was wrong. And he's talking to Jesus, and he's kind of freaked out. His wife had a dream about him. He says, don't you touch this righteous man. Don't you touch him. He's a righteous man. I suffered greatly in a dream because of him last night, said Pilate's wife. And Jesus looks at Pilate, and he makes it very clear who the guilt is. He says, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin. Jesus Christ makes it exceptionally clear over and over and over and over who has the guilt for the death of Jesus Christ. And it wasn't Pontius Pilate. Pilate had some sin. Yeah, he had some sin. But Jesus was very clear. He said, look, those who delivered me to you have the greater sin. And Pilate declared Jesus innocent twice. He said, don't you want me to release this man to you? As a result of this, Pilate made efforts to release him. But the Jews cried out, if you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar. How did Pontius Pilate become the governor of Judea? He was appointed by Caesar. He works for Caesar. He's a functionary of Caesar. Caesar says, okay, here's a qualified man. I'm going to appoint him as my representative over there. Do you think Pilate could not have recalled him, or Caesar could not have recalled him and had him executed for treason? Treason was taken extremely seriously in those days. And this is the Jews blackmailing Pilate into murdering Jesus Christ. They pretend loyalty to a system that they rejected over and over and over again. The Jews rejected the Romans. But here they are when it's convenient. If you release this man, you're no friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar. They clothe themselves in the flag. They wrap themselves in the Constitution. We are holier than thou. We're good citizens. If you, Caesar, let this man go, you're a traitor to Caesar, and we will make sure that he knows about this. They blackmailed Pontius Pilate. The Jews did. And Pilate said to the Jews, behold your king. He rubbed it in their faces. But first he said, behold the man. Now he's saying, behold your king. So the Jews cried out, and they said, away with him, away with him, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. They sold out to Satan. They sold out to the devil. They sold out to the world. Here is the Savior. Here is the King. And they said, give us the thief and the murderer. We have no king but Caesar. This is an eternal scripture. This is forever and ever and ever. And they sided against Jesus Christ. Now, who did this? Who did this? The Jews in Jerusalem, they were trying to figure out. It's not like you had the internet in those days and everybody could have a picture of Jesus Christ on their phone. Watch Jesus on video on YouTube. It took Judas Iscariot. He went to the Jews. He says, I'll show you who the man is. I'll tell you who the man is. They said, well, you're going to suffer a little bit of economic loss there because, you know, surely 30 pieces of silver are worth your time. They said, oh, yeah, I think so. I got to start a new life. I've kind of burned a few bridges here and there. And he goes up to Jesus Christ and he says, hail, Rabbi. Hail, Rabbi. O teacher, O Lord, O ruler. And he greets him with a kiss. He didn't go out and publicly denounce Jesus Christ. He didn't stab him in the back. He pretended to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Hail, Rabbi, and he greeted him with a kiss. I don't know what was going through his mind. I guess he thought he was just being a good Jew. He sided with the Jews against Jesus Christ, and that is the biblical definition of treason for all time. Forever. People treat this story as if it's a one-off. Oh, it's just a, you know, this is kind of what happened back then, sort of like maybe. And unfortunately, Christians do this to the entire Holy Scriptures. Genesis, Exodus, the Gospels. Oh, yeah, you know, it's a story from a long time ago. And the church itself won't believe it. So this is important today. It's important today for this to understand where we are. The church has gone so far down the road of siding with the Jews and renouncing explicitly what Jesus Christ says, that we're in trouble as a church because we side with the Jews over Jesus Christ. And that's it for today. There will be an after show, Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com.